Well, there were things that happened, miracles, and you know, all kinds of stuff. You know, we talked about a little bit about Jericho and how God brought them out of the land of bondage into freedom. He had to kill off a generation of unbelief, but he raised up a new generation of believers. But you know, when Jesus was born, which was a miracle by God, and we know that. Miracle. You might say, well, why was he born that way? Because there were certain reasons why. So he could have that be sinless perfection, him, so that he could be the Savior of the world and give us freedom. But during his ministry here, which was 33 and a half years or so, it says that Jesus did many miracles, many, many miracles. You know, he healed the lame man. I mean, you know the man with palsy. I mean, he did many, many miracles while he was here, earthly, as far as in the flesh with us. He turned water. The first miracle was that he turned water into wine, and not toxic as far as intoxicating wine. It wasn't that. No. Jesus wasn't a wino. And we shouldn't be either. The lesson there. Amen. I'm just kidding. Amen. Amen. All right. God, come on. Amen.
Amen.
All right. We shouldn't be drinking alcoholics as Christians. Shouldn't be. Now, that doesn't mean that we may not have problems in certain, and God can deliver us. But just as a Christian, God, we shouldn't do that. It's not correct. Because you look in the Old Testament how it led to many, many difficult things and horrible things. And we see that today of all that it has led to. But it says Jesus did many, many miracles, went around doing all kinds of things. And I want you to turn to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, if you would. Matthew, Mark chapter 3.
You serious? Stupid. Yeah, updated.
Praise God. Mark chapter 3, look at starting with verse 9. And this I want to read. It says, and he spoke to his disciples. Now, who's that? That's Jesus. That a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. For he had healed many. That means Jesus, during his earthly ministry, he healed many people. It says that the books could not contain. In Scripture, it says the books could not. That means this, the scrolls, the books, could not contain all the miracles. There were so many. Could not contain it. But that he went around and healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues. In verse 11, and unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, you are the Son of God. Praise God. We know this. The devil and all his demons are subject to our God. Remember that, people. They're not subject to us. No, 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 no. They're subject to our God. And we are subject to our God. As we bow before him, he takes control of those things that try to bring destruction upon our hearts and upon our lives. Now, it says that he has given us power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power. Then, yes, because our faith and trust is in Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. Amen. And when it's anywhere else, those things on the outside that can bring oppression will bring destruction upon individuals. But you see, our relationship with God always has to be that we trust him and what he did, and our faith is in what he did. And as we keep our faith in that, God takes care of all those things that come against us. He's there for us, fighting for us, because it says that he overcame everything. Victory has already been won for everything in our lives that we go through. Now, we know, because the Spirit of God lives in us, he has to clean us up. And there's a lot of cleaning up. There's a lot of trash in our lives. No amens?
Amen.
Yeah. Y'all are kind of quiet today. Is everything okay? There's a lot of trash in all of our lives. Everybody. But God still chose to reside in people. And it's the Holy Spirit's job to bring about those things in our lives that need to be taken care of. And help us to overcome those things. And you might say, well, Pastor, how can I overcome those things? By you putting your faith in Christ and what he did and nothing else. Not in yourself, not in how much you can pray, not in how much you can read your Bible. And those things are important. But faith in Christ. And if you fail, you repent and you put your faith back in him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. It's so simple that it's hard for us to understand at times. Because when we fail, we'd love for God to come and hit us over our head, put a few lashes on our backs, you know, pull our hair a little bit, you know, make us go through some hard times. We feel like we've done something. We paid the penalty. But God doesn't do that because we live in a time of mercy and grace. That he extends his love and he says, look, child, I know you have made a mistake. I know you failed in this area. You've asked forgiveness. I remember it no more. And our faith is back in him. We stand up strong. He wipes the dust off of our clothes and he says, get up. You're a son of me. Talking about God. A son and a daughter. And we get up and we go and we do the will of the Father. But when Jesus died on the cross, because of his death and what he did and what he went through, and because he was sinless, can you imagine no sin in his life at all? Zero. It's hard for us to go a day. It's hard for us to get through this church service. So. But that's okay. See, God says to renew the mind with the word of God. Look to the cross, look to him. But he went 33 and a half years without a sin in his life at all. And yet he had the upper hand because he didn't have that sin nature on the inside of him at all. That's why he couldn't be born in certain ways. But God knew we needed a Savior. And it says that he went 33 and a half years and then died on the cross. And he took upon himself the sins of the world. From the past, the present, and the future. And his blood paid that price of taking it away and forgiving it forever. Now, this is what I'm kind of, that's just bar note on the side, I guess. But after Jesus died on the cross and he brought his blood to the Father, and we know the Father accepted him, all that scenario would happen, and he went to hell and did all this stuff or whatever. It says that Christ told the disciples to go and wait for him, for the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father. And we know the promise of the Father was what? The Holy Spirit that would be shed upon the earth. And he would be the great comforter that would help us, that would work through us, that would work in us, and would help us to overcome things, and would use us as mortal human beings to bring miracles upon people's lives, to bring salvation to people's lives, as far as speaking for what Jesus had done. Because as Jesus was here, the Holy Spirit could not do all that he like what he's doing today in living in people's lives. He could not do that. But when Jesus died and Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, it says that the Holy Spirit came. And we can look in Acts chapter 2. Look at verse Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts chapter 2. Verse starting with verse 1 to 4, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it was filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now I want you to turn to something out of Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verse 44 to 46. It says this: "When Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because that all on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then entered Peter." But here we see the Holy Spirit came upon these two sect of people. One was for the Jewish people and one was for the Gentile. God didn't leave anybody out. The Holy Spirit came upon the church at that time. And they spoke with other tongues. A prayer language that comes forth out of God's people. You might say, well, is it still for today? Yes, it is for today. And if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to seek God for it. It is yours. Seek Him. Say, "Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost." There's teachings going on that the Holy Spirit, as far as speaking in tongues, is not for today, which is totally wrong. The Holy Spirit is for today. That's your power. That's your anointing. That's the presence of God, your prayer language. Because what does it do as you speak in tongues? You're speaking mysteries unto your God. You're speaking prayers unto your God. You're speaking things from the innermost part of your being unto your God. Him. The Holy Spirit was poured out upon the Jewish people and on the Gentiles for a reason. For a reason. Because Jesus wasn't here anymore, the earthly ministry. And miracles happened when He was here. But now God wanted to still continue with miracles upon people's lives and upon people's hearts. We're still living in a day where God wants to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, upon all people, pour out His Spirit upon all people, that miracles, signs, and wonders would be poured out using His people to touch the world for the kingdom of God. And it only can be done by the Holy Spirit. That's all. That's all. That's all. I want you to turn to John chapter 3, if you would. John chapter 3. No, that is not right. I'm sorry. John, talking about the, I'm trying to look forward. Maybe you can find it for me. Even pastors need help. We need help. Okay. You know, it's like, you know, Moses needed for victory. He needed his Aaron and Ur. I need you guys. And that's okay. And I know I'm close to it, I just can't see it. But you know where it's talking about where Peter and John went and they were praying over the guy that had been lame from his mother's womb? Lame. Find that for me. Come on, who's my Aaron? Y'all all my Aarons and y'all all my Urs. So, you know. Sorry about that. I don't like. What chapter? Did anybody see it? It's not 3, I know that.
Probably type in John in the mother's womb or something like that. John and what, Peter? even.
All right, while you look, I'm going to start. Just continue.
Type in Peter again, or start typing Peter again.
Can anybody find it? Look, y'all look it up on the computer.
And John.
Here we are, we see. When you have it, just raise your hand. We'll read it, okay? Look.
You're the lame man.
Like I said, you're my Aaron and Ernest.
No. No, that's not the same thing. That's not what he's
saying.
Here
we see the starting of this chapter. Good. Acts chapter. Yeah, okay.
That was right.
John,
yes.
That.
Okay.
That was right.
Well, the way that he described it, it was.
Hey, you
it
know,
didn't.
John chapter 3. John chapter 3, I know that's Nicodemus, and when he's about to be born again, he asks how he can be born again. In Acts chapter 3, thank y'all for finding it. Appreciate it. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple of the house of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lay from his mother's womb was carried where they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that enter into the temple, who see Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, the John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with him into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Okay, you can stop there. That's good. Here we see from the beginning in Acts chapter 3, talking about the miracle. And this miracle is an amazing thing, was brought on after the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the church. Miracle. Peter and John were going to prayer. Now that's very important, people. In the temple, they had prayer at 9 o'clock in the morning and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And at the 3 o'clock afternoon part, Peter and John decided, and as they usually would do, would go to have prayer in the temple, praying unto God, asking God to move. And that's very important, that we need to realize that prayer is a very important part of our lives, people. And what the devil and even ourselves, we'll try to think that we can make it without praying. Now, I know we need to have faith in God, and that's where our faith needs to be. But we need to worship, and we need to pray, and pray to our God. That he wants to be worshipped. We have to make time. You might say, "Well, Pastor, how much time?" Well, you know, whatever time that God puts upon your heart, you need to do. If I tell you 30 minutes that you have to pray, you'll be condemned tomorrow. I know it. Because some people can't make it 30 minutes. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not trying to. What I'm saying is, the Bible never gives you a time. Man might put a time, but God doesn't put a time. You know, God doesn't say that you have to read your Bible an hour a day. But the Bible does say to study to show yourself approved unto him. Because you see, the enemy would use it as a condemnation unto us, to condemn us from the outside. Because I understand that we're all busy, and sometimes we have more time one day than another. I understand all that. But we need to take some time to feed the spirit man on the inside of us. To feed it. We have to feed it the word. It could be riding in a car, listening to somebody preach, or you have the Bible on, I almost said cassette, but that's God. But just have the Bible, you know, going on in your car, you know, they're reading it or something, and praying to God and asking God to move. But they went, and it's ironic that they were going to the place that lifted up and praised God at that time. Prayer is an initial important part of a Christian's life.
I think it's there.
And as we know, prayer is talking to God, giving Him our burdens, praising Him, and honoring Him. But it says this, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them who entered into the temple. It's an amazing thing. Here we see this man. That was laid at the temple every day. And we know the story. But is it amazing? Did you ever think why he always stayed at the entrance where people walked in? Not where they exited? But that he laid, they kind of would bring him there and then lay him on a kind of blanket. And as people would walk by, he was at the mercy of every one of them. Can you spare a dime? Put it in our vernacular today. Can you give me a dollar? You know? Can you give me $5 to help me? Because this man, without the generosity of people moved with compassion, he would not have food the next day or the day after. Or maybe even that day. Who knows? But they laid him there every day. He had somebody that would bring him in the morning. Around 6 o'clock in the morning, he would stay all day asking for money. And he was at the mercy of the people that went into the temple. And I'm sure as people would walk by him, some would give to him, some wouldn't. You know, you couldn't probably give to him every day because he was there every day. But some had compassion and some didn't. Now, and I know probably people passed him by and said, oh, he's here again. You know, there he is again. And I know in today's society there are people that will try to move on your compassion, especially ladies. You know, some need it and probably a lot don't. You have to be moved by the Holy Spirit on the inside. I heard somebody say this, and this was a pastor years ago. He said, I just give it to people. I don't care what they do with it. If they want to buy drugs, that's up to them. If they want to. And I looked at him like, are you an idiot? I didn't tell him that, but I thought it. You know, a lot of times we need to keep this quiet, you know, because we can think a lot of stuff, but just so it doesn't come out. But I thought, were you an idiot? Why would I give God's money, I don't care what it is, $10, to somebody that will go use it to buy drugs? And I thought, you need to be moved by the Holy Spirit in your giving. Because just because, you know, people are out there asking for money doesn't mean they really need it. You know, I got an email from somebody, and they were talking about and this is just the last week or so. You know, when did Katrina take place in New Orleans? That was how long ago? 10 years. Yeah. In the paper, somebody was asking for help for Katrina victims.
10 years ago.
Not far from here. 10 years later. You think that makes sense? And probably people are going to give all kind of stuff. You know. Now, I'm not saying maybe we shouldn't, but, you know, there's certain areas that we need to be careful of. But this man was sitting there asking for alms, you know, asking for people to help. And all of a sudden, he didn't realize when he got up that morning what God was going to do for him. You know, people, certainly happen to people in a as Christians. We don't realize what's going to happen this afternoon, what God may do. We don't know what the Holy Spirit may have in store for you as an individual. You don't realize maybe tonight when you open up your Bible and you start to read, and all of a sudden something jumps out at you and feeds your spirit. The Holy Spirit quickening your spirit and giving you something that you need. As he lay there day after day, he didn't realize as he got up that morning that a miracle was going to happen. And that would be the last day he'd have to stay in that sun or sit on that cement there. Now it says that they laid him at the gate called Beautiful. Which, as far as reading about it, it was a gate that was 60-something feet long and like 30-something feet high. And to move the gate, it took about 20 or so men to move it. But it was overplated with a copper tone or copper overlay of the gate, which was the most beautiful gate. That's why they called it the Gate Beautiful. And so here we see God moving upon Peter and John. And as they came to give and to pray, it says that as they got to him, you know, he's asking for something. He's asking. And when they got to him, they said, "Sir, and we know the thing, silver and gold have we none, but such as I give to thee." The Holy Spirit said, "It's your day for healing." As the church of the living God, it's the Holy Spirit's job to decide who he wants to heal, when he wants to heal, and why he wants to heal. That's him. That relieves us. It was, now God will use us because the Holy Spirit is in us. But it wasn't Peter and John that healed that man. And it wasn't Peter and John that decided to heal that man that day. That relieves us as the church of the living God. That as Peter and John, they said, look, Peter looked at that man and fastened his eyes upon that man. And he knew the Holy Spirit leaped on the inside of him. And he was saying, today is your day of salvation. Today is your day of healing. Today is your day that God's going to manifest his power in your heart and in your life. I know the word says that believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We do that by faith, but it's still the Holy Spirit's job to do it when he wants it and when he wants it done. It's up to him. That relieves us. There's no pressure upon men and women of God at all. We believe God. And stand upon his word. And Peter and John took him, Peter, and raised him up. And he said, strength came to his legs and his ankles. And he stood to his feet. Can you imagine a man that never stood up ever before? Can you imagine a person that never walked before because he was lame from his mother's womb? Got up and he started walking. And leaping and praising God. He ran into the temple, which he had never been in the temple because they wouldn't allow this man to go in the temple because he was infirmed. Sad. But as he was healed, he ran in there with Peter and John and started praising God and worshiping him. See, we need to realize that we need to be moved by the Spirit of God. And suddenlies are going to happen. We need to let God move within our hearts and lives. We don't know what tomorrow may hold. You might be somewhere and all of a sudden you passing by somebody. They say, can you pray with me? Yeah, we'll pray with you. Okay. And you never know what God may do through you. Because that's how he works today. Through his people. We just need to let God be God in us and through us. And let the Holy Spirit do His work within our hearts and in our lives. Can you imagine the faith that was built up in Peter and John as they saw this man wandering around and leaping and moving and doing all this stuff and knowing who he was? How he sat there day after day after day, and all the people in the temple saw, that's the man. That's the man I gave money to. I want it back. That's him. He can work now. Get him off of Social Security. Get him off of welfare. He can work. Get him. He can work now. And there's nothing wrong with Social Security. And
Greece
welfare
was the
we
first
okay.
Civilization to mm-hmm. have a welfare system.
I don't want anybody to ever feel condemned about that. Because sometimes there is a need for you. Sometimes. But can you imagine? They started leaping and praising their God. And look, who got the attention? God. As they said, there's no other one. No one. People, God says in the last days that He's going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, upon the earth. We know we're living in the last days. The last days could be another 50 years. I don't know. It could be another 20. It could be another 10. Could be whatever. Whatever it takes. God knows what's best. But we're living in the last days. And let me tell you, God is using His people to bring suddenlies upon the earth. To use them as vessels. And we're not left out in any way. God wants to use you as a vessel to bring honor and glory unto Him. Miracles to happen. Miracles to happen. Miracles to happen, not to bring glory to man, but to bring glory to God and Him alone, and Him alone. I was listening the other day. I was listening to on TV, you know, SBN, and you know, you have a Christian station. I said they were having some telethons, so I said, let me go to something else and see. And so, you know, it was another Christian station. And I sat there drinking, and we sat there, we were watching. And some guy was preaching, and if I told you his name, you'd know it. Without a shadow of a doubt. And they were having some kind of convention there, and they had I don't know how many big name people there and all that stuff. And he said something, and I looked at Joy and I said, that's not God. I just knew it. I said, that is not God. He said something basically like, God told him, get me to work. Get me to work. Like the Lord told him to believe something, get me to work. And I said, that's not God. God didn't tell him that. We just knew it. And we looked at each other and we thought, oh my God. How far has the so-called church come from? We got to know about the Spirit that lives in us. Not to be moved by even preachers. We have to know that our God reigns in us, and we got to know the Word of God. We got to know when something is truth or when something is wrong. We may, you know, you might say, well, Pastor, are we going to know every time? We may not know exactly the doctrine of why it's wrong, but we know on the inside something's not right, and we question. We have to be careful. Because Jesus is coming and says, for a spotless church, that I never thought would ever be possible. You might say, well, you know, because, I mean, you know, who's spotless in here without sin at all? But you see, when we put our faith in Christ and Him alone, He makes us spotless. Because the Father sees the Son. When He looks at us and the blood of Jesus upon our lives, that makes us white, white, clean, through the eyes of our Father. He said He's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. That means our faith is in Him and Him alone, and what He did at Calvary's cross to bring victory in our hearts and in our lives. He's coming. Miracles are going to be happening to you, and God's going to use you. The greatest miracle that could ever happen, besides a physical thing, would be just people getting saved. That's the greatest miracle ever. Salvation of souls.
one thing that I could put on my mustache now.
Certain things are going to happen.
Just don't curl my hair.
Just let go. Let God.
Wow.
Let God. Let God.
Yeah, you did it.
You know, I don't understand at times. I'll be honest with you. I'm honest, but I guess I'm just trying to put down the foot in that area. I don't understand why sometimes God will heal people and sometimes he doesn't. I don't understand it. I don't know. Sometimes we'll have Christians that love God with all their heart and soul, and you know it. And they're not healed. And then you might have somebody that just got saved, that just whatever. And I'm not trying to say one is better than the other at all. That God will just heal. I don't understand. I know what his word says, and I believe his word, and I stand upon that. But I've come to this truth to know this. That his ways far outweigh my ways. And that what he wants to do far outweighs what I think is best. And we may not understand all things, but God never said we'd understand it all. What he said was, believe me. Have faith. And that's all we got to do. I don't understand sometimes why some people go through harder times than others. I don't understand. I have a few little beliefs of what I think why, but I don't understand. Why some people from birth, it's like they've gone through hard times. And they're Christians. Then you have others that don't go through hard times for the most part. Now they do have some difficult times here. I don't understand that. But we still put our faith in Christ and him alone. And what he did as Calvary, that crowd was cross. As men and women of God, we may not understand God. But we love him. We adore him. And we want to do his will. We want to do his will. Our part is to believe him, have faith in him, and let God do the work, using us as vessels of honor. God is looking for a people that will humble themselves before him, take up his agenda, and let it manifest upon the earth. And let him do it. Let him do it. Praise God. You may stand, please. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus. As every head is bowed, just for a minute, if you would. If you don't know Jesus this morning, if you have never given, or maybe you have, but you need a rededication of your heart and life unto him, and you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, would you please raise your hand? Just let me make sure. Father, Lord, I just thank you for your people. Lord, I thank you for the great things that you're doing in their hearts and lives. And Father, I pray that you will bless them spiritually, physically, and emotionally. Father, I pray that the blessings of the Holy Spirit would rest upon them. Lord, you see the ones that just need you to comfort them and be with them. Father, I pray that you would comfort them and be with them this day. The ones that need a physical touch, I pray that you physically touch their bodies and heal their bodies. Father, the ones that just need you to comfort them and help them. Father, comfort them with you. Father, I pray for all the marriages, Lord God, in this church, that you would be with the husbands and you would be with the wives, Lord God. Father, help them. Make their marriage strong, Father. And the ones that are single, Lord God, I pray that you would be with them and help them this day. Help them in their everyday lives, Lord. Father, you are their God and you are their Lord. Encourage them, be with them, and help them. Lord God, you know what's going on in their lives, but Father, you are a great God. Comfort them and be with them. And Father, I thank you for them. I thank you that they love you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Lord God, I just declare victory in their lives, Lord. Father, declare holiness in their lives, Lord. I declare peace in their lives, Lord God. I just declare victory in their hearts and lives. Be with them and help them at this day, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look this way, please. Look, Jelaine and I, we love you guys. We thank God for you. And we appreciate you. And I pray you have a great day this week. God bless you. And you are dismissed.
Not my bad.